What's up, folks? It's Matt Sells back with you for this week's NASCAR DFS podcast, talking about the Bass Pro Shops NRA Night Race at Bristol. As you may have seen in the Discord channel, Dan Malin is on some much-deserved R&R this week, so that means we've got back Mr. Ed Rouse. What's up, Rouse?
What's going on, man? Yeah, I'm back again. Dan, get the guy some R&R. He needs it, right? Jeez. So I guess I'll step in today for this important playoff race because this is the cutoff race. So there's a lot to talk about, of course. I think something happened yesterday with some driver named Kyle Busch. I was trying to follow the Bob Pockrass Twitter feed. Can you explain that to me? Because what is going to happen?
So credit to Dale Jr. actually, who broke the news like 3 days before with the famous emoji tweet now, where he tweeted a bush, an arrow, and an eight ball.
way to give it away there.
Yeah, broke the biggest NASCAR free agent news in, I don't know.
At least it wasn't an eggplant and a sandwich or something.
That's true. It could have been an eggplant. So Kyle Busch announced that he was going to have a major announcement on Tuesday. And given the recent major announcements that we've had from NASCAR, where it was like Tony Stewart announcing he was going into the NFT market 4 years too late, and announcing that another drag may or may not get another race, that, you know, we all kind of figured that it was the free agent announcement, especially after Jordan Bianchi broke the news during Kansas weekend. But yeah, Kyle Busch announced with Richard Childress that he was in fact going to the 8 car next year. So that kind of begs the question, okay, but you're not letting Tyler Reddick out of the contract. So what exactly is happening with Tyler Reddick? Richard Childress has said that they have a third charter. I do not know where it came from, but they have a third charter, which, by the way, I do want to bring this up because I find this very interesting, given what's happening with Tyler Reddick now. RCR had a third charter when the charter system originally came out. They had a charter for the 3, they had a charter for the 8, and then they had a charter for one of their other numbers. They have some other numbers. The most notable one is 29, which, of course, Kevin Harvick started in.
Is there a 69? Because that would be nice.
I don't know. But there is a 29, which I'm assuming is what Tyler Reddick is going to go to. However, the third charter was leased to the 00 of Starcom Racing, and then Starcom bought it the following year. Then when Starcom went out of business or got out of Cup Series, the third charter, that charter for Starcom, is now in possession of 2311 Racing, and it's what the 45 car, a.k.a. Kyle Busch's brother, currently piloted by Bubba Wallace, is driving. So I find this to be very entertaining.
The RCR. So is this like that meme of the guy from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia trying to figure out the...
Yes.
Okay, all right, I got it. Yeah. You're like bored.
For, I think it was Charlie in that GIF, if I'm not mistaken.
Charlie, yeah. Like, and his hair's all sweaty. He's like freaking out. Yeah, it's great.
I believe that Tyler Reddick will be in the 29 next year. They say they have sponsorship for it.
But then he's leaving after next year.
Right. So he's only with RCR through 2023. And then he's going to go to 2311, which I'm not sure if they stick him in the 45 or the 23 or they get a third car. I don't know yet. We'll have to find out. But I find it very interesting that RCR would find it worthwhile to purchase a charter for next year.
Yeah.
Rather than buy out Tyler Reddick and force him to go find another car for 1 year.
It seems like what they should have done, to be
honest. Right, because charters, I think, right now are selling for about $12 million is what the rumored price is. Nobody knows for sure. But it had to be cheaper to buy out Tyler Reddick.
From his
contract. And then, well,
why not make it more confusing and more interesting for a 23? Yeah,
they also gave Tyler Reddick 1 hour notice that he was not going to be in the 8 car.
Oh, even better.
And then they also, Randall Burnett, who is Tyler Reddick's crew chief this year, is now going to be Kyle Busch's crew chief next year. So they're just kicking Reddick to a whole brand new team.
You think that Tyler Reddick like walked to his car in the garage and there was like a pink paper hanging out?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like that. It's like the clip of the Jets guy trying to get back into the facility. They cut him. Get it. So I'm kind of feeling like, I know it was kind of weird that Tyler Reddick announced a year and a half before he was leaving that he was leaving, but like, I feel like this is a bit dirty on RCR's part.
Doesn't everything involving Kyle Busch seem a little dirty though?
I mean, a little bit. There's a couple interesting twists to this too that I find interesting. The 8 car is famously known for being Dale Jr.'s car, and Kyle Busch originally used to drive for Chevy, used to drive for Hendrick, and quit mid-race at one point when he thought his car was too busted to continue. The crew fixed it, and Dale Jr. actually hopped in that car and continued to race. So plus there's that little feud that happened between Dale Jr. and Kyle Busch when Kyle Busch wrecked him out at Richmond about a decade ago. So that, you know, kind of a little interesting deal there. I also like Denny taking a shot at RCR with the last sentence of his tweet saying the timing couldn't have been better, because CR famously said the timing couldn't have been worse when the Tyler Reddick news was announced. So I found that hilarious too.
Yeah, Denny Hamlin has some. He is 100% on his tweets, on his trolling. Yeah. Yes. But on the racetrack right now, we'll see. But I mean, he's actually a good spot for the playoffs.
Yeah.
And this week, I think he's the most expensive driver on DraftKings.
He is. So we'll go over a little bit of schedule here. I am covering Dan for the Truck Series on Thursday night, so I will have a playbook out some point on Thursday, which will be later today, assuming you're listening to this when it first comes out on Thursday. And then Friday, Dan will have some write-up of some sort for the Xfinity Series. It probably won't be a full playbook. He is on vacation. The only reason I can't do it is because I have a concert that I'm going to.
You got to say what it is. You got to say what it is.
I'm going to see Kip Moore in a venue that holds about 1,500 people.
Dude, that's going to be a lot of fun. I like Kip Moore. Yeah. That's good for your country folks out there.
And so I'm pretty excited about that. My wife and I love him, and we've been waiting a while to see him, and now it's a 1,500-seat venue. So
you guys can have a blast. It'll be great.
So that's pretty sweet. I will have the Cup playbook. I think it'll be out Saturday morning. It is a Saturday night race. Only reason is that Cup qualifying and practice is Friday afternoon, so it makes timing a little tricky with the concert and whatnot. So I will have the playbook out probably Saturday morning, I would imagine. Projections will be out Saturday morning as well.
Fair enough.
So that's kind of the lay of the land this weekend. I'm sure we will be in Discord at some, at the key times before lock for those deals. But again, the contests aren't nearly as big, even for Cup Series. They've started to come down because football cuts into everything. So don't go hog wild for stuff, especially in Xfinity, where every race seems to be a plate race. They're designed to be or not.
Yeah.
And Bristol is chaotic to begin with. So
yeah, it's going to be interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah. So with that, let me ask you this question here, Rouse. You're kind All of right. a neophyte into the NASCAR DFS world, and we are glad to have you. But with this being a cutoff race, how are you approaching the drivers in the playoffs? Because remember, nobody has locked their way into the round of 12 yet, because we had Eric Jones win at Darlington, who's not in the playoffs.
Yeah. And
Bubba Wallace hit. By the way, I had that in my betting piece at 20-1. And called it on NASCAR Sirius XM radio about 90 minutes before the race started.
Oh, yeah, I listened. It was great, by the way.
Thank you. So Bubba Wallace won at Kansas last weekend. Not in the playoffs. So there's two wins in the playoffs by two non-playoff guys. So everything's wide open this weekend.
Yeah.
Is that changing how you're looking at guys?
I mean, it kind of has to. By the way, kudos to the playbook and you last week, because it was also the week one of the NFL season. So, of course, I'm in on that as well. And I still won $250 playing DFS. And I didn't even check my lineup until way after the race was done. I was trying to, like, I was running to my office, watching the race was on the TV here in my office. And I was going out watching Red Zone with my friends and my family barbecuing. I was like, oh, Bubba won. I had him in my DFS because sales told me to. And sure enough, $250.
Fantastic. Boom.
Paid for my barbecue because I made some good stuff. But yeah.
By the way, checking way after the race ends is probably the best way to.
I realized that for the first time this season because it's the first
don't
time.
Don't ever look mid race because
week one of the NFL like made it better. And like I just ran out into my living room, I won $250 on my NASCAR. They're like, what? They're like, NASCAR's on. I was like, yeah. And Blady has actually finished the race. So we were good. But yeah, I'm kind of looking at the same that I have the last 2 weeks, to be honest. You still have 16 playoff drivers in there. And by the way, that I was on, 2 weeks ago? That bottom stack of the playoff, $4 win.
There you go.
Boom. Yeah. So there you go. It worked. $4 win. $4 win.
I'll take the $250, but thanks.
On an $8 buy. <Just kidding. laughs> It worked, but no. So, obviously, the guys from the back, and I'm looking at pricing right now. They're the guys for a GPP. Like I tell everybody, I only play the GPPs. And they're the guys I'm kind of looking at this week to kind of start my lineups because they have to win to get in, right? So we're looking at the standings right now, and we're going, okay, who is that? We got Kyle Busch, who's expensive. Austin Dillon, not so much. Chase Briscoe, Kevin Harvick. Kevin Harvick has had a rough playoffs after he was literally, you could literally say he was maybe one of the hottest drivers up until Daytona, and then he could have been the hottest driver. He could have won that if he didn't try to split the gap. And now he's like on the bottom of the pole here.
I thought you were making a fire joke there because remember he caught fire at Darlington. So I
yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. He was one of the hottest. Okay, literally, he was the hottest driver until the playoffs. And then he was the hottest driver. And not by looks. But so you kind of got to look at him at GPPs and his price and say you kind of want to look at him because it's kind of. Or nothing type of situation, and he's sitting there what at 8,500. So you gotta look at those guys first, and then you gotta kind of say, okay, well, they gotta say the last two races, right? No playoff drivers have won. Right. So maybe everybody not named Busch, Dillon, Briscoe, and Harvick are going, well, I can just kind of coast this and don't have to worry about winning. So to be honest with you, it's kind of a weird situation in this. So my strategy is going to be kind of doing two type of GPP formats. One where I kind of stack the mid-range playoff drivers because I think they're going to be more aggressive. And another one where I may just take the coasting where they qualify of like the Blaneys, the Loganos, the Hamlins, the Byrons, the Bells, and then get some bottom guys, even Wallace, you know, Amarola. I hate to say it. Brad Keselowski, and try to yeah, you're laughing, I see you, and try to kind of build two different types of lineups and kind of pepper them in all my GPPs.
That's a pretty solid way to start it. I will say Kevin Harvick is the guy that has to win to get in. He's 35 points below the cutoff line. The other three guys are within striking distance, right? So you got Briscoe, I think, is 9 points below the cutoff line.
Yes.
Austin Dillon is 3 points, and Kyle Busch is 2 points. So all Kyle Busch has to do is outrun Austin Cindric by two spots.
And by the way, they're all within $300 on DraftKings. Austin Dillon, 77. Briscoe, 76. And Austin Cindric is 74.
Thanks. Very interesting.
Thanks. Stack all three of them.
I like two of them better than another one. All right. Not the biggest Cindric fan at Bristol.
Yeah. He's probably the weakest link of that.
He's been okay. Austin Dillon has run hot and cold here. His brother, though, I do like as a budget guy. Ty Dillon has finished 21st or better in the last like five Bristol races he's run.
What is Ty's price today?
Probably in the six range, low sixes.
I don't think he's in DraftKings right now.
Let's see. Is Ty Dillon in DraftKings?
Oh, dude, he's 5,700.
Ooh, heck yeah. I would take that. I will take that. Because, yeah, if you look back at the last six Bristol races, you've got a finish of 21st, 15th, 20th, 39th, and 18th. So only one of those has he finished outside the top 21. And he started on average 27.5. So you're looking at pretty decent, you know, position differential upside there for Ty Dillon. Obviously, this depends on where he starts officially for the race.
That's way too cheap, man. 5,700 is way too cheap for Ty Dillon.
Yeah.
I just scroll down. I'm like, well, there he is.
He's not exactly done a whole lot in the 42, which is probably why he's out of it at the end of the season, and Noah Gragson will be in there next year.
Yeah, makes sense.
But, you know, for certain pick-your-spot races, Ty Dillon is a very good DFS option this week. I will say that track history is going to play a pretty decent role in my selections this week. Look, Bristol is a very tough track. Usually you don't win it very early in your career. It takes quite a lot of time and learning of the track to be good here.
Great.
We do want, look, everybody's going to run a ton of laps at practice. The track is a half mile long, so you're clicking laps off in about 12, 13 seconds. So people are going to, maybe a little longer than that, I guess, about 19 or whatever it is. People are going to run a bunch of laps at practice. They're going to run a bunch of laps. Like, you're going to see people run 50 consecutive laps, even in the 20-minute practice that they get. Times are probably going to be pretty decently close, but you are going to want to look at the guys that can carry speed over the course of the long haul. And I would not take terribly seriously the Busch, the dirt races here over the last 2 years because of the dirt surface.
Please don't. Yes. If you do me a self a favor and you're playing DFS, just take the dirt races out of this one. Let's go.
Right. Especially last year's dirt race, because the second half of that race was single file restarts, which basically handed Joey Logano the win. Though we could say that Kyle Busch is only in the playoffs because of the dirt race here at Bristol earlier this year.
True statement. So there you go.
I mean, it's kind of my strategy this week is basically a lot of it's going to be more heavily tilted towards track history than it is going to be what have you done for me lately, because we've not run on a short track in a very long time. And Bristol does not compare to Martinsville, and it does not compare to Richmond. It kind of sort of compares to Dover, sort of. Dover's twice as long, but it is still the same concrete surface and pretty heavily banked. So it's going to be a little bit of, playoff urgency, and it's going to be a lot of track history for me in terms of how I'm setting lineups this week.
Well, let's run through it this way. Let's do it this way this week. I know Dan's not here, so I'm going to say let's do it this week. Let's take the 10s, the 9s, the 8s, the 7s, and then below, okay? Let's go with the 10s. There's five of them right now. Hamlin, Elliott, Larson, Busch, Bell. Bush, which one of those do you like the best? Which one of those do you like the worst?
Kyle Busch is my favorite out of that grouping.
Agreed.
At Bristol. I mean, he's dominating it. It may as well be called Bushdol. You've heard me refer to this before because he and Kurt Busch have flat out owned Bristol in their careers. So for him to be the fourth most expensive guy and $1,000 less than his teammate is pretty surprising to me. I'm torn between Larson and Bell as my next favorite, simply because Bell has had consistent speed all year.
Elliott's had, it was an all-star race a couple years ago, I guess.
Yeah, he won the all-star race, and, he's done well. He's doing better at Bristol now than earlier in his career. And in fact, if you look at the last six Bristol races, he's third. Sorry, he is one, two, three, four, five, six, seventh in average finish over the last six races here. 12.2, it's respectable, but he starts really fast and then he tends to go backwards a little bit. So I would say that Kyle Busch is number one in this grouping, then Larson.
Like it. I like it too.
And then probably C. Bell.
Hamlin's way overpriced.
I'm not sure that I understand the pricing on Hamlin.
11.5. That is stupidly overpriced.
I feel like this is like 4 weeks in a row that I've not understood the pricing on Hamlin.
Yeah. I mean, you got to throw him in at least one GPP, but at least one. Like, if you're playing 10, one have Hamlin. There's no way you're paying 11.5 and getting any type of value from anyone else
in that right. situation. Like, yeah. It just, like, in fairness to him, though, he's been 11-1 in three of the last five races. Each time he's been 11-1, he's put up 61 or more DK points. However, he has only led 28 total laps in those three races.
Gee, yeah. And wasn't he the one saying that, like, on Alex Bowman and everyone, oh, I guess they just went at the end, and all of a sudden he's the guy that's doing that now? Okay, come on.
Yeah, I mean, he put up 70 points last week, mainly because he started 25th and finished second. Right, yeah. So there's an awful lot of finish position in PD there. He had 12 fastest laps, no laps led. At Darlington, he finished second, started 11th, 22 fastest laps, 6 laps led. Then at Richmond, he was 11-1, started third, finished fourth, 36 fastest laps and 22 laps led. So, I don't know. But at Bristol, he's been okay of late. He's been okay. So if we get a top five out of him, great. But if he's starting like third and he finishes fifth and doesn't really lead a bunch of laps.
Watch him qualify like 30th.
Well, but now that causes a problem because the track is so short that lap traffic, guys can get lapped very quickly. So you want to careful about getting guys who start too far back because their position differential can be capped. Because let's say, for sake of argument, that they start 32nd. And you're like, oh, this guy should finish as a 15th place car. Okay, cool. But if he starts 32nd and gets lapped, and then the highest he can get is, let's say, 20th because car 19 is on the lead lap, you've just cost yourself some position differential.
And you know what? What you just said right there, I think, is a valuable lesson for everyone listening to this Fantasy Alarm NASCAR podcast right now, too, is you're going to have a high percentage of people who will see the qualifying numbers. And if someone, and it says Denny Hamlin, 32, they're automatically going to play him just because they want those points. The, you know, like, automatically they're going to play him because they say, oh, he's going to get a top 15. I'm going to get those points automatically. He's going to be high owned. But what Sells just said right there is very important at Bristol. Very important is there's not too many cars on the lead lap at the end of the race. Let's put it that way.
No.
And
let's see if I can find out real quick. Exactly.
Yeah, it's only a half mile, people.
I mean, so, guys get lapped very, very quickly at Bristol. It happens all the time. We do talk about this on short tracks relatively frequently because it is something to pay attention to. Let me see if I find for you how many lead lap finishers typically are in a Bristol race here. Let me click on, let's just click on the last one, which was last fall, which Kyle Larson won.
Yep.
And how many dudes, 19 guys, finished on the lead lap in that race?
19.
Out of a field that started at 38. So half the field did not finish on the lead lap.
That's Bristol.
In 2020, the last Bristol race of 2020, six. Six dudes were on the lead lap when that race finished.
By the way, everyone, he said six.
Yeah. Like, now I will say that there was a late caution, and I think it was
a pit
cycle, and it trapped some guys' laps down. But Only six guys finished on the lead lap out of a field of 40 guys. And I'm not even including the fact that there was only like five dudes one lap down. So
I'm changing my whole strategy right now. I know who the high owned guys are going to be when Elliott or Hamlin or Larson or Bell or anyone in this realm qualify 33rd or whatever. I'm fading them.
Now, here's the interesting part about the race where only six guys finished on the lead lap. The guy who finished sixth was Clint Bowyer, who started 11th. However, so Eric Jones, who started 20th, finished third. All right. That being said, nobody that started outside the top 26 cracked the top 10.
There you go.
That was Michael McDowell, who finished 10th and was two laps down.
There you go. I mean, that kind of tells you right there, right? I think we're onto something right here. I think whoever listens to this podcast just got some.
John Hunter Nemechek, yes, he was still in the Cup Series in 2020. John Hunter Nemechek started 31st, finished 20th in that race, and he was three laps down. That's the highest finishing guy who started 30th or worse.
That is, dude, I think we're onto something right now.
So just be careful of, you know, not going, oh, this guy's starting dead last, I'm going to get free position differential.
This is not the race to do that in.
Now, we have seen a guy like Kyle Busch start 31st and finish 4th, but it's Kyle Busch at Bristol. So
that's why he's already in my lineup. As we talk, I always make a lineup for everybody. He's already plugged in right there.
And in that race, by the way, there were still only seven dudes who finished on the lead lap.
Seven. Okay.
So
there's a trend here. Okay.
There is a trend that not that many people finish on the lead lap, generally speaking. 16 in the previous one before that out of a field of 37 guys. So, you know, that is one thing to be careful of this week, is that just because a guy is starting in the back and he had really fast practice speeds doesn't necessarily mean that he's a free PD play, because he's going to need strategy and he's going to need a little luck to, because the other thing is, you're like, oh, he's a lap down, there's 500 laps, he can make it up. Well, if the leader passes, laps another guy before the guy you need to move up passes a guy, your guy just lost the lucky dog. So if there's a caution, they won't even get their lap back.
Man, I said, let's go over the 10s. And we just went through this whole new strategy, which I love, by the way. So I'm rethinking mine as I'm making this lineup right now. I
got on that talk, but it was helpful. So let's move on to the nines.
But, okay, there's four nines. There's four nines. It's Reddick, Truex, Logano, and Chastain. So three are playoff drivers.
Automatically avoiding Ross Chastain.
Automatically avoiding him as well, yes.
I'm sorry, he has not been good. He was good at Kansas. Okay, congrats. It's the first time in 2 months you've been good, and Kansas is not comparable to Bristol at all. Not in the least.
I'm not going to play Truex at 9,700 either.
And by the way, for those of you who are curious what the heck Ross Chastain did in the dirt race, he started 33rd and finished 33rd.
Well, that was
the dirt race really compares, but, you know.
Let's just say something happens where Hamlin and Chastain are 15th and 16th towards the end of this race.
Hamlin's taking them out.
Yeah, I'm not touching any of those guys. I mean,
let's put it this way. If Hamlin's current teammate, Kyle Busch, is close to the cutoff line, and Chastain, who, by the way, is ninth right now. So, and
Hamlin's all pretty much guaranteed to make.
I mean, Hamlin's good. Yeah, he's 47 points above. He's like, all he has to do is basically start the race and he'll be fine.
Yeah.
But Chastain is 26.
Will this be the Chastain revenge on this one that Hamlin talked about?
No, I don't think so. I think if Chastain makes it, then it comes next round, because he's sitting at the bottom of sitting in the cutoff area for next round. So
that's fair enough.
It would be the next round. But of those four guys, I'm definitely avoiding Chastain.
I'm also avoiding Truex too. I just, for that price, not in the playoffs.
I mean, that hasn't stopped non-playoff drivers.
Yeah, but at this route, he's just helping his teammates, and he's not going to win.
Yeah, he's had some terrible luck at Bristol previously. Like, he did finish 7th last year.
Yeah.
But he's had some bad luck.
Reddick's interesting, but
he is.
I would take Logano, I think, in those nines over Reddick. But Reddick's interesting because, you know how he's going to react to what happened this week. So, to be honest, I'm probably fading all four of these nines. But if I had to,
I would be fine playing Reddick and Logano. I'm going to avoid the other two.
Yeah, shall we go to the eights?
Well, we can skip the top eight because we already know you're playing them. It's Ryan Blaney.
He's already in my lineup, actually.
Then you got Byron at 8,700, Harvick at 85,
Bubba,
Bowman, and Suarez at 8 even.
Oh, yeah, Suarez, too. Yeah, I'm not on Suarez on Bristol. It's a good price, actually, but just not playing him. Obviously, Blaney does have good history at Bristol. He's pretty much all he has to do is just finish the race to make the next round, though.
See, but that's been the problem for him at Bristol. Like, he's been very fast, and then he runs into something that's not his fault.
At Bristol, you're talking about Blaney's career.
I mean, yes, this is a microcosm of his career, basically. But, yeah, I'm fine playing Blaney. He's been quick. He did finish 4th in this race last year. He's got, in the last 6 races here, he has 4 top 10s.
GPP, and he's going to be low-owned. Unless he qualifies like 30th, then it'll be high-owned because we talked about the PD earlier. But
right,
if he qualifies like 15th or like higher, he's going to be low-owned for a GPP, and he could get top 5 easily, get you your, 5 times value back on that 8,900.
Yeah. Kevin Harvick is a weird one.
Yeah, I don't know how he's going to react to this. Like, it's a win or nothing, right?
Right. So the way that changes his strategy is he's forgoing stage points.
Yeah, he doesn't get
right. He doesn't care. So you're going to see him pit before the end of stages, if depending on how the tire and fuel mileage go. You'll probably see him pit with 2 to 3 laps to go in the stage before pit road closes, and so he'll start. Like, you'll be like, oh, the stage is about to end. Why the hell did he drop back so far? Well, because he's going to start up front at the beginning of the next stage because he's jumping the line. He doesn't care about stage points. Those won't help him at this point.
Yep.
Even if he finished first in both the first 2 stages.
Wouldn't matter.
It's 20 points. He still needs to out-duel Austin Cindric by 15 points and hope he doesn't get any stage points. So that's not really going to help him. So he's winning. He's in. Harvick did win here last year, or 2 years ago now, I guess.
Not last year. Yeah, 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
But that's when he had his immaculate run, when he won, 11 races that year, though, and he was, the number one.
Yeah.
He hasn't been the same
since. Yeah, that was his, remarkable season. 9 wins, I think.
Also the pandemic season, too.
Yeah, he did finish 2nd here last year in this race a year ago when he finished behind Kyle Larson. So, look, I thought he was fast last week. He got caught up and had an issue. That's 2 weeks in a row that he's had stuff happen to him. I still think the price is reasonable at 8,500. And you may actually get some leverage on the field because I think some people might be done with him for finishing in the 30s the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But I honestly don't know. I mean, I don't feel great about Bowman here. He always is okay. No.
What about Bubba? I think his season's done. I think he won. His season's done. He did all he needed to do, win a race, not rained out, and he is done. I'm not touching Bubba Wallace with a 40-foot pole this week. Not at all.
He also doesn't typically do all that well at Bristol. Like, he's done okay. And I know this is the best equipment he's been in. And Kurt's car usually does well at Bristol, but that's because it's Kurt, not the car, because Kurt does well regardless. Although
they still are in line for the championship.
Yes.
Yeah, which brings a lot of money, but mentally, the dude just won his own championship. He won a race without being rained out.
That team partied for a while.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a lot of that on Twitter. Like, I follow some of those team guys. Which they should. Look, I'm not telling them not to party.
Hey.
But that's going to have a that may have an effect on the race this weekend. So, yeah, I'm probably off on Bubba this week. That was like the, you know, every blind squirrel finds a nut. Byron's been fast. I just don't know how to read him at Bristol.
He's going to be a quiet, sneaky play this week. I think he's going to be really low owned. He's a playoff driver.
Did finish third here last year.
I think
he finished.
I love him as a GPP play.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, as a GPP, I don't think anybody's going to pay attention to him.
Yeah, he'll be low and he can get top five.
So that's basically how the eights play out for me.
Let's go to the sevens, shall we?
Yeah.
And then we'll just do the rest real quick because there's not much there. Okay. We go into the sevens.
Yeah.
Your boy, Eric Jones.
I do like him. I do like him this week. He does run very well at Bristol typically.
Austin Dillon.
So my daughter's favorite driver.
Okay, so that's why we should put him in our GPPs right there.
No, I mean, she puts him in there every week. I let her play lineups. She makes the same lineup every single week.
Here's my favorite. Okay, go on Austin to Dillon real quick because everyone, he's interesting and he has a show. So what do you feel about Austin Dillon? He's
finished top 15 in 5 of the last 6 races at Bristol.
Interesting.
He has finished 13th, 14th, 34th, 6th, 12th, and 15th. So you've got 12, 13, 14, 15 in 4 of those races. The only downside is he only moved up a couple of spots in each of those. So at the right price,
7,700. You do
not need him to move up that much to hit value.
So 7,700, depending on where he starts, I guess. But even at that, 7,700,
he's going to need 37.5 DK points to hit 5X.
I don't think he's going to hit that.
So let's see what he averages. I can tell you what he averages.
He's only hit that once in the last 5 races. So
29.3 DK points is what he averages over the last 6 Bristol races. However, that does include a race in which he finished 34th and started 19th. So you got a lot of negative points that are weighing it down. But it might be tricky for him to hit 5X.
Okay, good. I'm glad we're over the Austin Dillon talk. Shout out to your daughter. Chase Briscoe. Talk me off of him as a GPP play this week.
So you're on him because he needs to do well to keep going in the playoffs, right?
Yes.
Okay. What if I told you I was on him because in his one lone cup appearance, he started 20th and finished 13th?
Okay, I'll take that. What if I told you he's in my lineup I'm going to give to the people later and already was in because I've at a GPP under 10% owned and I just have a feeling he's going to have one of those top 15 finishes to get value from right there. I love him in this race for a GPP. You know what? Put it on your playbook as the Rouse special. Chase Briscoe. Put him in your GPP lineups. He's going to win you money this week.
Noted. I'm trying to see what he did in other short tracks. I know I just said we can't really compare short tracks, but it's...
At Dover,
he did start 23rd and finish 13th, which was good for 40 points.
I'm telling you, Chase Briscoe is a sneaky, sneaky GPP play, and he was one of the first people I even put in my lineup today. Like, and if you look at his Xfinity record, too, when he was battling out with Cindric for the last 2 or 3 years, he would get his points in the shorter tracks. Well, obviously Cindric was a better road course racer, and right, and that's why we're off of Cindric, because he's not a short track racer for this race. That's how they kind of battled each other with points.
Briscoe's Xfinity record here in the four Xfinity races he ran, his average finish was 2.3.
Bob's your uncle right there.
The only guy that beat it, Tyler Reddick, in two races put up an average finish.
In two races, though. But
yeah, in two races.
Tyler Reddick. Yeah. Bob's your uncle right there. Chase Briscoe, the GPP play of the week at 7,600, guaranteed five times.
And
guaranteed.
As a comparison, Austin Cindric in five races had an average finish of 10.4, which isn't terrible. But no wins, three top fives, four top tens. Now, I will say that Cindric did lead more laps in the Xfinity series here than Briscoe did, for what it's worth. But I do like Briscoe more than Cindric this week.
I love Briscoe. He's one of my favorite plays. He'll be low-owned, unless you're listening to this podcast, that'll be high-owned because you just heard everything we just said. Loved him all day. Love him still. Finished up my lineup. We should talk about the below.
Yeah.
7,000, but actually none of them are in my lineup this week.
So we talked about Ty Dillon.
I'm sorry. Ty Dillon is already in my lineup because we talked about it earlier. So one of them is Ty Dillon. There you go.
But, yeah, man, it's hard to get excited about anybody in that range. It really is.
It's not a Todd Father week either. It's not. Last week was a Todd Father week. This week, not.
Yes.
Let's get that off the table right now. Sorry, Dan. Have fun. R&R. You're going to have your Stenhouses.
No, so that I did want to talk about Stenhouse.
I know. Okay, there it is. Okay,
not because I necessarily want to play him, but because there's a weird streak happening here with him.
Crash on, crash off. What is it?
So in the last six races, his average finish is 30.7 at Bristol.
Oh, God.
Not great.
Not great. That's not even...
No.
Mediocre. That's straight trash.
It's terrible. It's terrible, right? Here's the interesting part, though. If you go to the last 10 races, his average finish shoots up to 21.3. Because in the four races, so in the last six races, he has finished 24th, 33rd, 33rd, 34th, 40th, and 20th. But in the four races prior, he finished 2nd, 9th, 14th, and 4th. So my only problem is, if he finds that mojo, he's going to do well. But it has been a very long time since he has found that mojo here at Bristol. And in fact, his average run position in the last 10 races here is 21.1. So not ideal.
Not for that price. Not for 6,800.
Not ideal. But let me see what we can scrounge up here if I go back to the 2016 and 2014 through 2016 races.
We're going back in time, people. We're going back in time.
Stenhouse in those races, in that six race grouping, had an average finish of 8.5.
So you're saying there's a chance.
That, by the way, led the field in that period of time. Now, the cars are completely different. He's totally different. The teams are different. A lot of stuff is different. But if we get a clean Stenhouse, it could be a magical day.
Can I say it? Can I say it?
Yeah.
If you play Stenhouse, you are high.
Sometimes it's good to
you are high. You are high. Which means he's not going to wreck and he'll actually do good because he's like my kryptonite of DraftKings.
Here's plays. The other tiny little sliver of thing that's intriguing me about Stenhouse. We harked him back to Dover, which I said is kind of sort of comparable because they're both concrete high bank.
Kind of sort of is always good. So okay.
Yes. Well, because Dover's a mile, Bristol's a half mile, the banking's a little different.
It's close.
Right. Stenhouse did finish second at Dover. started 15th and finished second at Dover. So there's a little sliver of hope.
Is Stenhouse going to be in your playbook?
I can't guarantee other right now.
So let's move on.
Because if he runs real, if he qualifies oddly, then yeah, he's probably going to be in the playbook. Mostly because people are crapping all over him this week. So I think there might be leverage here.
Crapping all over him?
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of tweets like Stenhouse sucks in the last like 5 years here. Just don't like, which is true. It's factually accurate. He has sucked in the
last. Which means the guy that wins no longer a million, like the 500,000 is going to have him in his life. Like, that's the way it always works, right? I'm still not touching him with an 18, 19 million foot pole, but
it's the last time I told somebody to fade a driver, Kurt Busch won Vegas.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was rough
stuff. Like, he just statistically never did well at his home track, and then all of a sudden he figured it out one weekend when I told everybody not to play him.
All right, let's get off the Wrecky Ricky situation. Anyone else? Buescher, Keselowski, I mentioned him earlier as a weird GPP play. I may have him in one of my 10 or
20. Yeah, I mean, those guys are intriguing. Obviously, they're roughly the same cars. I mean, they are, you know, Buescher and Keselowski are teammates slash owner teammates. I don't know. I mean, Keselowski, it's impossible to compare what he's previously done here because I was in Cindric's current car.
Yeah, that's true.
But they were good. I feel like he can just hang out and get like a top 15, and that might be.
That's what I'm thinking too. That's why Keselowski at that price of 64, I like, and then I feel the same way. But he's also burned me this year. Like I'm like yeah. It's Keselowski. He's a good driver. It's just not good equipment. It's just not the same equipment that he's used to driving in. So it kind of threw me off, which means he'll be like, what, 2% owned, and he'll probably get a top 15. So I'm going to put him at least one of my GPPs.
So I'm saying. I mean, these are where you're looking for leverage plays. Like, hey, if this guy hits, then my lineup goes from good to phenomenal.
Right? And all these drivers in this tier, him and Ty Dillon and Chris Buescher, and, well, we're not going to count the dinger, but they're all the best qualified drivers at this price. So you got to play that.
What are you doing with Custer?
I'm not touching Custer. I'd rather have Ty Dillon win 100 less than Cole Custer this week. Really? What has Cole Custer done since he won that race as Rookie of the Year where he just won in the last lap? What has he done? You want the answer to that without me cussing? Jack crap. That's why he's literally sitting here at 5,900.
I mean, that's true.
It's facts, my friend. It's facts, Sells. It's facts.
He put up a top 15 at the Bristol Dirt Race, which, again, dirt, sure, okay, whatevs. But he did start on the pole, and they had qualifying. He started 30th at Dover.
Eggplant emoji.
He started 30th at Dover and moved up to 15th. He has had 3 top 16 finishes in the last 5 races, sure. One of those was a road course, which he's been better at. One was Daytona. But.
So that counts. That was sarcasm, people.
I don't know, man. I'm just trying to, like, see if we can find the guys that nobody is.
It's Ty Dillon. Like, it's Ty Dillon in this price.
I mean, everybody's paying attention to Ty Dillon, though, is the problem.
Okay. If you were to go off of anyone, I got to ask you the question again. Is Cole Custer going to be in your playbook in this price tier?
No.
Okay, so then, come on. What has the man done?
I mean, if he is, then I'm writing the playbook at like 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm sleep deprived.
And drunk.
I have not written it drunk, but I have written it sleep deprived.
Okay.
Yeah, man, the rest of the guys, you could take a stab and somebody is going to crack a lineup somewhere. But yes, there's no confidence in anybody below. No.
And this is the first week all year that I'm not on Todd Father either, which sucks because I've been me and Matt have been on Todd Father all year, but this is not the race for him. Unfortunately, not a good short track guy.
Yeah, also the leap from the Truck Series to the Cup Series gets felt pretty good at Bristol.
Yeah.
Because the speeds are just so much greater, the G-forces, not to mention it's a 500 lap race.
Yeah, no, it's
trucks aren't even running anywhere close to that.
Yeah, Bristol's no joke. It's a tough race. It's not easy by all means.
No. Ironically, though, it used to be Clint Bowyer's best track, and I jokingly said that's because you could click off laps faster than his attention span disappeared.
So true. Shout out to Clint Bowyer.
Yeah, hope all is well with you and yours. Yeah. But yeah, so look, that's gonna wrap up the pod this week.
What? Well, I haven't given my lineup.
Oh, right.
That's right. The Rouse special. After everything we've talked about for the podcast, for Saturday night under the lights at Bristol, here is my lineup. No surprise. Number one, Brian Blaney. Ty Dillon as my underpriced, low-priced, get everyone in pick of the week. Kyle Busch as my high-priced player. Kevin Harvick and William Byron in my GPP. By the way, this is a GPP lineup. So if you don't win your double up and you play this and you start yelling at me at Discord, Bob's your uncle. I don't want to hear it. So Kyle Harvick, William Byron, and closing it out is my play of the week, Briscoe. $100 remaining salary on DraftKings. That's Blaney, Ty Dillon. Don't get it. Not his brother. Ty Dillon. Bush, Kyle Busch, obviously. Harvick, Byron, Briscoe. Boom. $100 left. I'm putting it in right now in the 200K engineer, and we'll see what happens.
That's a pretty solid lineup.
I like it a lot. So I would come up with good lineups after we talk for an hour.
Yeah, I should be, selling this, the fantasy football advice app where you could sell, 15 minutes of your time for some amount of
it. It's like, what? Patreon. You get on Patreon, sales. Let's do that.
That is a discussion for another time.
I didn't say OnlyFans. I said Patreon.
Nobody's paying for OnlyFans. So that's going to wrap
You'd
up
be surprised.
The Bristol Night Race podcast for this week. Once again, we will have coverage for the trucks out on Thursday. I will have that playbook for you, the first truck playbook from me all season, so hopefully it does well. Malin is going to have something out for Xfinity. I'm not sure exactly what. It will not be a full playbook. It'll be some sort of write-up and probably core play. And then I will have the Cup playbook out probably as early on Sunday, on Saturday morning as I can possibly manage. And then projections out about the same time as the playbook. So that should give you a full Saturday to build lineups and whatnot. So with that, we will see the chaos unfold at Bristol as four guys try to save their seasons at Bristol before we turn it over to, Vegas next week?
Oh, don't put me on the spot. I think it is.
Is it Vegas or is it, there's another mile and a half? Or is it Texas?
I think I have the schedule from last year.
I think it's Texas.
It's Texas. It is Texas. It's
Texas. Vegas is the next round.
Great. So we get a boring week next week. Woo! Yeah!
But luckily, with the 2023 schedule, they seem to be cutting Texas out of the schedule as much as possible. So
as they should.
Hopefully, they just continue to get rid of it, and then it gets bulldozed and turned into some condominiums. That is enough rambling from myself and Mr. Rouse this week. We will be in Discord. I'm sure we will find a way to get Mr. Rouse back on one of these podcasts at least at some point during the rest of the season.
I'll be here. I want I want a threesome though. I want the Dan Sells Rouse experience.
You want the full experience? We got to pay extra for that.
Yeah, holy fans.
So, with that, we are honestly signing off. Good luck, FA Nation, and we'll see you in the green.